good to those who are called according to his purpose. It doesn't mean all things are good. And, you know, you really begin to appreciate that God specializes in bad situations. And that's where our intended growth is supposed to be. Unfortunately, most of the time, I can speak for myself, I suppose, don't always see that intended purpose as it is, or should be, and consequently can miss the opportunity by which to grow into a greater reality. The scripture talks about Hebrews 4. Yeah, this is Terry, you were sort of brushing up against this passage a little bit earlier this morning, where it talks about, let us therefore fear, it's in Hebrews 4:1, at least a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. I like this scripture. You know, that the reference is that the word of which we have, that has been delivered to us, is not a different word than the word that was given to the children of Israel. You know, it means to say that they, with the word of which was given to them, had the opportunity to be just as much an overcomer as we have now with the word that's given to us. But it also means, as easily as they made the mistake,
right,
so can we. I suppose if we really saw our situation and our progress as God sees it, perhaps it would not be so pleasant. But we thank God for his mercy. As the word says, the mercy is new every morning. And we can invoke that mercy as we, endeavor to push on. Let me just sort of shift gears a little bit. We had a very good very good weekend last week in California. I was very kind of struck, you know, as going back there for the first time in many, many years, of the immutability. Is that right?
Yeah.
Of the Word of God.
Oh, yeah.
The immutability, the unchangeableness, in its intended purpose, in its directive. And as we were sitting there in the first little gathering, it was so very much aware that God's word will not return unto him.
Amen.
And that after all of these years, that there is a remnant, a small handful, if you will, and it's not, numbers don't really mean anything in God's eyes. If he just has one that is obedient, like Elijah, then he will use it to, as he did there on Mount Carmel. You know, all he needed is one. One person that was true to the calling and the election that was on his life and the revelation of the word of which he had at that given point. So God only needs one. And so if you have two or three, the math in God is the addition or the multiplication factor in God is much
exponential.
Hallelujah. So just on the basis of the openness and the receptivity and the willingness to accommodate us so openly, it's very encouraging, and it speaks that the word will find a place, and it will have a people that want to become the word. And so I'm just really, really grateful to the Lord for the circumstances that He puts us in. And the truth is, I don't need to understand the mechanics per se as to why.
Amen.
All I need to have is a love for God and a desire for and to be in relationship with Him. And how it works out, the way He should work it out, in the all of these things are somewhat secondary.
Amen.
But there's such a blessing in it because he multitasks. as he wants to do something over here or over there. At the same time, there's something He wants to do in you with respect to the reality of who He is. But at the same time, there is a standard of which He is setting by which the circumstance of your environment will be judged and assessed. And the pronouncement made thereon, you look at Noah, for instance, in that he was delivered a word. Now, I mean, can you imagine, he's given a word about a destruction, a certain kind of destruction that is to come when there had not been anything of that nature to date in his day. But the word says in Hebrews, it says, he that cometh to God, it says without faith is impossible to please God. It is impossible to please God, but he that cometh to God must believe that he can. Very good. Did you hear what I said? He must believe that he can.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Well, actually, I was trying to catch you. What does the scripture say?
He must believe that he is, that he, and that he's a rewarder of those that
Yes, diligently. That he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How many times do we look at our situation and we look at it from that from the perspective of, oh God, you need to do such and such, oh God, because you can. We tend to look at the outcome that will, more times than not, we're looking at the thing that will relieve or alleviate the circumstance. Mm-hmm. Looking at the provision rather than looking at the provider himself as being the all in all. Hallelujah. And you know, there's such a liberty available for us when we begin to shift our focus off of the circumstance of our situation and more on to the intended purpose of who God is. Hallelujah. Because it's in the aspect of who He is that works out the reality of your circumstance.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. And, you know, so I was talking to somebody and we were discussing the intended purpose of God. And they were expressing their concern as to, well, I like to know, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4. Step 1, 2, 3, 4. I want to know where the intended, where's this going to end up? And what's the dynamics of that situation? And I can understand that perspective of, you know, as coming from the finite, from the natural, you know, thing. I mean, we all want to, you know, be a certain assurance or comfortability in our circumstance. But as we were talking about it, I began to think about just your body in itself. And your toe, for instance, doesn't necessarily know of your intended your intended destination or the task that you have to do today.
Right.
It's just simply waiting for the next command by which to be employed to facilitate that task, you know. And so how much more so we would desire to be also. You understand? And so it brings me to the verse there where I started with in Romans. It says, all things work together for good to those who are called according to His purpose. Hallelujah. There's a little picture that I thought was very good. I don't know if I can borrow the board for a minute.
Sure.
And I was thinking about the sailboat and its design. And it's at the whim of the wind for its main thrust to get from point A to point B.
There's a sailboat right there.
Oh yeah, so there you go. Very good.
You want to use that still? I know you like to draw.
Well, we might have a little.
I think it's been there too long.
But there's certain physics involved either can work against you or work for you. And it's really on the basis of whether we employ the physics or not. And the Word of God says that it's the entrance of His Word that giveth light.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And bringeth understanding.
And is that the rest
and
of
bring
it?
Understanding.
And bringeth understanding. To the simple. So I'm thinking about something of a traditional sailboat design, and maybe you will see it. A simple boat with a square type sail.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that it's really only productive in one direction. And that's the direction in which the wind blows. Hallelujah. So the boat is at the mercy of the wind. Mm-hmm. And you can only sail in the direction of which the wind is blowing, to some extent. Because this design does not employ the the physics that can be utilized by changing the design. Hallelujah. And, you know, I can see myself as something like this when I don't have the reality of God. You know, I might have something of an understanding of the Word of God, but there's always a deeper unveiling. There's always a deeper a place of being able to walk with God. And, I'm really praising God in the aspect that being obedient to God and making the decisions that we have made, and we have a general sense of direction, but not knowing what is the mechanics of it that is going to get us from A to B. My experience, I suppose, has started out with something of this kind of understanding. Hallelujah. But in the midst of the situation, God begins to unveil. He begins to bring a revelation that begins to liberate me as an individual. And I can begin to see that there's another design that will work much better to the to being able to move not only with the wind, but also now be able to sail into the wind and against the wind. Hallelujah. And this design is basically what they call an airfoil. Hallelujah. And it utilizes the same principle as the airplane wing. If you look at the cross section of a wing, it looks something like this. Mm-hmm. So that as air is to, as it divides the air in its forward motion, air flowing over and under this thing creates a difference of pressure from the top side and the bottom side. Hallelujah. So that there's lower pressure on the top side than the pressure on the bottom side, which produces
lift.
Hallelujah. And so it's the same principle when it comes to the sail on the sailboat. Hallelujah. Because when the wind, the wind blows into the sail, it fills the sail so that the sail becomes curved like this. Mm-hmm. If you're looking at it down from the top. Mm-hmm. And so it creates this kind of airfoil, right? So you get the same principle as the high pressure on the bottom, or on the inside, and the low pressure on the outside, which creates lift in a horizontal direction.
Or thrust.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have lift on one side and thrust on the back side. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. So when I was so the scripture says all things work together for good. And it's really a matter of employing the proper sail, if you will, and then allowing it to, then we can utilize the wind that is contrary to us, mm-hmm, to propel us in the direction we want to go. Hallelujah.
Like the fish in the water.
It's like the fish in the water, particularly the salmon. I like the salmon. It's a very good example. Its life cycle, its design is to return to the place from whence it came. And but in order to get to that position or that place, there's a necessity to swim against the stream, against the current. Now, you're not talking flatland lazy river. that just sort of meanders from point of origin to point of termination. But you're talking about the rushing water, and you know water is there's a certain hydraulic force in water,
right.
that can be very destructive. Hallelujah. But the design in the fish, and there's that certain determination, you know, in the fish, and you know it comes from God.
Right.
The programming comes from God. Mm-hmm. There's a certain determination that it doesn't stop quarter way.
Right.
It doesn't, you know, stop halfway. Oh well, this looks similar to home. But it goes the whole way to its point of origin, and overcoming the obstacles and the element of resistance. See, it's the element of resistance that forges and creates the reality of God with the Word of God. Hallelujah. It's very much like the two tenons on the bottom of the board.
Mm-hmm.
You know, each stands for a particular principle. One is the principle of walking and living by the Word, and second is by this principle of moving by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Because it's the Spirit of God that activates the Word into a position of reality.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. And so we find that that our circumstances are designed to root us and ground us into the intended purpose of God.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. So they're really, no matter how bad our situation may be, or we may think it is, the truth of the matter really isn't any bad situation as far as God is concerned.
Amen.
It's just what there are to God is opportunities.
Amen.
Hallelujah. To demonstrate the fact that He is God. Hallelujah. And to give us something to grab a hold of so that we can come to God because He is.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the Word, you know, speaks about that all things work together for good to those that are called according to His purpose. Hallelujah. Let's see, I think I was looking at in Hebrews chapter 6. Well, let me before we jump there, let me read a verse in Romans. It's in Romans 8. Let's say Romans 8 and 12. Wherefore, brethren, we are not debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Hallelujah. But there's a progression here. Because the word here for sons in the Greek is huios, which is the word to indicate mature son or one who has come to a place of maturity. Hallelujah. Now you see that position of the maturity you see that place of maturity as it's defined by the tabernacle itself. Because how long was the tabernacle? No, I'm talking about the tabernacle, the inner structure itself. It was 30 cubits, wasn't it? Hallelujah. And that's the same length of which the apostolic rod starts and begins with.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So there's that position of maturity that the word defines as huios, or you know, coming to a place of maturity. There's another place also that speaks of maturity, and that is in the building of Noah's Ark. It was 300 cubits in length, so it's talking about the overcomers. It was 50 cubits in breadth, so we're talking about the jubilee, or the liberty of which should be delivered unto all. And it was, what, 30 cubits in height. And within those 30 cubits, those 30 cubits is separated into three levels, the lower, the middle, and the upper level. Hallelujah. So as one who wants to come to a place of maturity, then there's something of the reality of God that God must incorporate in our lives that includes the lower, the middle, and the upper level. The third level. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. And that is the design of our circumstance. That is the design of our situations, you know. Sometimes our circumstances are disciplinarian in nature, you know. Sometimes they're there for our the expansion of our spiritual reality. And just the basic reality of who God is, and that He is God in spite of everything else, and particularly in spite of me. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And then that's probably the biggest and the greatest lesson. Okay, so for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So they are the huios of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby ye cry, what? Abba, Father. It's in Hebrews again, maybe the sixth chapter, I'm not sure right off the top of my head, but it says, God says that every son in whom He loves, what does He do?
He chastens.
12:6. Thank you. He chastens. Hallelujah. And if we're not chastened, then we're not sons.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So therefore, despise not what? The chastening of the Lord. Hallelujah. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. Now, here's where you begin to see the progression. And if children, now the word here is the word technon, which means that child that is yet in a position or a place of immaturity. Thank you. And has yet need of maturity. Mm-hmm. Yet need coming to a position of maturity. Okay, so you see, then there's a progression. And if children, then heirs and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Hallelujah. And if so be that we suffer with Him, that ye may be also glorified together. Hallelujah. So it's inescapable that if we want to be joint heirs with Christ, then there must come that element of suffering in whatever capacity, whatever form it may be, that will help facilitate our assuredness and guarantee for us that position of being joint heirs with Christ. Hallelujah. And really what it amounts to is qualifying for placement into the body of Christ.
Thank the Lord.
Hallelujah. You know, we can talk about the boards and the elements and the aspects of the boards, and that's all good and well, but there still has to come that qualifying aspect that qualifies us to be of use and placed into service as one of the boards. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. And that is where That's where the scripture says that we are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Hallelujah. And that aspect of qualifying, we find it in sanctification, in consecration. Hallelujah. And in dedication. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And until we resolve, you know, these basic principles, then we will stand in jeopardy to be like the children of Israel who heard the word but did not mix the word with faith.
Amen.
And therefore it became a necessity for God to find another people that would believe the word and would mix the word with faith. Hallelujah. So when you think about faith, here again, it's one of those things that is disconfigured. You know, it's the same. It's just kind of the same perspective when we get in a situation and we begin to cry out to God for deliverance from the situation. You know, it's like saying, God, you can, rather than just simply finding that position or place of that He is.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. The faith, the idea of faith is that, well, we just stand in faith because something will manifest that will alleviate our current dilemma. Hallelujah. I don't know that faith was ever intended for that position, for that use. As much as faith is something that is for the purpose of fulfilling the purpose and the heart of God.
Praise
God. Hallelujah. You know, so you see it, I mean, in Hebrews chapter 11, over and over and over again in the lives of the different individuals. You take Noah, for instance. Hallelujah. He demonstrated his faith not in the aspect that God was able to provide for his family, but in the aspect that he was able to fulfill the will of God and build the ark as God gave him commandment to build. Hallelujah. You know, and so it comes, so this quality or this element that we call faith has been kept true and pure in the lives of God's people down through the ages, all the way down to who? To us and our age.
That's right.
Hallelujah. I mean, did you notice that the word, the apostolic word, was delivered to those God appointed as apostles by Himself personally?
Yes.
Hallelujah. You know, it's just the marvelous of the wisdom of God, because God knows that in less than a generation, the word can be so disfigured, so twisted, so changed, that there would be no hope of it ever coming to a place of fruition, except for the fact that God Himself would intervene and speak to individuals on a face-to-face basis and deliver once again the integrity of the word. Hallelujah. And the intended purpose of what He calls faith, the substance of things hoped for. Hallelujah. And so it's this word of which we have received, and its intended purpose, and which is to be worked out in our life in accordance to His purpose, not my purpose.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we find then that there's something that is born inside. Hallelujah. And it, you know, we consider the word that came to us by virtue that came to us that said, you have need to be born again. Hallelujah. Now, well, in the capacity of being born again, it was the blood of Christ that we received that made the soul what? A living soul. Hallelujah. You know, I don't like to think of the aspect is that it is God that has come down to me, as much as it is the Word of God, the blood of Jesus Christ, that has come to me and elevated me up to God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Mm. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Because it says we are seated, what? It's in Ephesians. It's Ephesians 2.
Heavenly places.
Yes. Ephesians 2. We'll start in 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Hallelujah. Among whom also we all had our own conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, and for his great love wherein he hath loved us, even when we were dead in sins, what? Hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved, and what? Hath raised us where? Has raised us up. Hallelujah. Together and made us sit in heavenly places. Where?
In
Christ Jesus. So it's from the very beginning. You know, you understand what it's saying. It doesn't say in Jesus Christ, but it says in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So that means the blood of Jesus, from its intended purpose, was not just to save you.
Amen.
As to keep you from going to hell, but it was for the intended purpose of raising you up into maturity that is found in Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
The greatness.
So there's something of the effectual power of the blood that should and must continue in order to wholly save you and I.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So the blood creates for us a place of what, as the Bible says, to be seated in heavenly places. So my directive has been changed as far as this life is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
My sense of what it is I'm supposed to be, you know. On the there's a standard in the world that says, you know, you should be this, you should be that, you need this and you need that. You know, go out and do this and do that. But all of those things became secondary the moment I received the life of the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And the heavenly calling, the heavenly purpose, and the immutableness of who God is and his intended purpose now become primary as far as God is concerned. Hallelujah. But there's a place of an awakening that must take place in me to begin to realize these things, you know. Again, it's in the first chapter of Ephesians. It says, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you what? The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. What? That the eyes of your understanding, what? Be enlightened. Hallelujah. So it's in the aspect of that enlightenment, hallelujah, that the reality of God begins to displace my former position of existence as far as this life is concerned. Hallelujah. And in the aspect of it being displaced, you know, you begin to see the world from a different perspective. You understand what I'm saying? This last song we were singing, The Love of God, you know, I was just sort of marveling the other day as it just sort of hit me, you know, the light bulb went off, so to speak. I mean, we talk about the love of God, and we can see many examples of that love being manifest. I mean, your own salvation is an aspect of the love of God. But just something about the reality of it sort of hit me, in that the truth is, the greatest thing about God is the love of God.
Amen.
And I'm not talking about the emotional, soft, fuzzy, wuzzy. Everything, it feels so nice, especially when you have, you know, you have a very good conference and the last day seems to culminate and the Spirit of God is everywhere. And there's such a connectivity and a unity one with another. And you feel the love of God. And I don't mean to discredit that. I think that is very, very valuable, very important. And we are endeavoring to get to that position on a daily basis.
Not at the
culmination after 3 or 4 days of conferences.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. But I'm talking about just the absolute power of the love of God to destroy every element of darkness.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, so that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that what? So in the aspect of the enlightenment, what happens next?
That you may know.
That you may know what the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His. Whose inheritance?
Amen.
Your inheritance?
No.
No, this is sick.
No.
You see how self-orientated we are?
Oh my God.
In that when we look at things, even
help
from a Christian perspective, we look at it from a self-centered perspective. You know, oh God, deliver me from this circumstance because it's what will benefit me from my self-orientated position.
Yes.
Hallelujah. But yet, what it says here, what is the hope of His calling? I can't imagine.
Amen.
It's hard for the finite mind. If it weren't for my heart that begins to grab a hold of it, my ability to receive any understanding of it. His calling.
Yes,
can you imagine? This is a God that is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, and yet it's saying, yet there's something in God that is as if He has a need to be fulfilled.
Right.
and He calls it His calling. Hallelujah. And so, what a glorious opportunity that it isn't out there in the elements of nature, as wonderful and as beautiful as it is, that God finds His intended purpose.
Amen.
But it's in you.
Yeah.
It's in me. Hallelujah. That His desire is to bring forth and to show forth and to demonstrate the fulfilling of His calling in me, in you. Hallelujah. And what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Hallelujah. I mean, we're talking about something that has never been demonstrated or brought to fruition as to the date. Now, we're a lot closer today than we were in the beginning when He said, "Let us make man." Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that thing that He's working to bring to fruition is an absolute demonstration of the eternal nature of the Son of God.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Christ. Hallelujah. What does it say in Ephesians? Oh, well, it's there in verse 10. We're kind of reading the Bible, and I don't want to say backwards or reverse, but
We're reviewing.
There you go.
We're reading the Bible in review. Hallelujah. Dispensation, verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, he hath purposed in himself.
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah. I mean, here's the word that's on multiple layers, mm-hmm. multiple levels, right?
Yes.
You have the overarching revelation of the mystery of his will given to us in the tabernacle and all of those things that what they mean and how they're pertinent.
Amen.
But then there's yet that revealing of the will of God to us on an individual basis.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Something, God is doing something in you that's unique to you.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. He's doing something in me that's unique to me. Hallelujah. But in the marvelness of who God is, when he puts you and me together, there's a greater or another dimension or expression of the infinite wisdom of God and his ability to do it because he's God. Hallelujah. Okay. So he made known unto us the mystery of his will according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself. What? That in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one, what? All things in Christ. Where?
Both which are in heaven.
Both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him. Hallelujah. So, in reality, what we have is God bringing the two ends of heaven together.
Amen.
Yes.
And the infrastructure of hell that has been in between is being pushed out or evicted.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
When you look at the scripture, it says,
right.
The Son of Man cometh as what? As the lightning shineth from the east to the west.
Mm-hmm.
Now, another scripture, another gospel says, as the lightning shineth what? From one end of heaven to the other.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You know, you and I became an extension of heaven when we received the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But the reality is that there's still that infrastructure of hell, hell's intended purpose, hell's function that is standing in between. The aspect of me who is now seated in heavenly places and the aspect of God the Father in all of his Shekinah glory on the other end of heaven. Hallelujah. But it's the Word of God. You know, coming back to the thought, I have sent my Word, and it's my word that will not return unto me void. Hallelujah. Until the Son of Man, as he comes, he is coming from one end of heaven to the other end of heaven. Hallelujah. And the element that will bind the two heavens together into one is the thing we call Christ. Hallelujah. The demonstration, the living reality of the ever-abiding, eternal nature of God himself.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. 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 Even in him. Okay, so verse 11, by whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh what? All things after the counsel of his own will. Hallelujah. So when you get up tomorrow, or you look at your day today, or you look at your life today in retrospect or review, don't look at it in the sense of, oh me, oh my, how this, how that. But look at it, your circumstance, as something that God is in control.
Amen.
And it is after the counsel of his own will.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. and that we might begin to imbibe or receive from God the capacity to begin to believe Him. Hallelujah.
Yes.
That He is. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come what may, wherever it may be, however it may be, and wherever my final destination is, and what it takes to work out that destination. The toe doesn't know where you're going, per se.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Doesn't know what it's got to go through to get you from where, from this position to that position. All it knows that it is designed to function in a certain way, and when it receives the command, it begins to work together with the rest of your body to get the body to its destination. Hallelujah. How much more so that we who have received the living word, hallelujah, and whatever part or piece that God would designate
hallelujah.
You and I to be in part of that body, that word we
Amen.
Receive as the energy to get us from A to B. Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah.
And into a position or place of what the Bible says, they that are led by the Spirit of God, they become the Hulios of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, so I was going for Hebrews 6 there. Let's start in verse 12. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. For when God made promise to Abraham, he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And there's no argument as far as God is concerned. Your circumstance, your situation, your trial, your tribulation, there's no argument.
Amen.
You know, He does not look at it as an obstacle and how do we get around it? How do we get over it? How do we overcome it? You understand?
Amen.
There's no argument. Hallelujah. And how much more so that as we imbibe the intended purpose of God, our circumstance, our situation, no matter how hard or difficult it may be, it is something by design.
Amen.
And there's no argument.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And there's the point of contention, the point of strife. It's non-existent as far as God is concerned.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Verse 17, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability that's twisting my tongue there, of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, which is it impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay upon the hope that is set before us. Hallelujah. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. Hallelujah. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Hallelujah. So there's that final order of priesthood. You know, you saw the structure of it. You saw the implementation of priesthood,
mm-hmm.
and with respect to the Levitical establishment.
Right.
But as you go on and you read in chapter 7 here of Hebrews, he begins to break it down that these were nothing more than stepping stones that would bring mankind. Now, you know, we who stand in the dispensation of fullness of time represent all of those who have gone before us. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And so that in the completing of the Word of God and the fulfillment of the Word of God, it's in us, the church militant, the reality of God is worked out into a manifestation in this life. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. So, you know, I don't know, for me this was such a blessing that I realize I can use the wind that is against me.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Yes. Amen.
To push me
forward.
In spite of.
Yes.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Rather than trying to get someplace on the basis of this design, hallelujah, I'm upgrading.
Uh-huh.
Hallelujah. I'm upgrading.
First class.
First class, that's right.
Yeah.
I'm being upgraded. Hallelujah. With that spiritual understanding of the purpose for which I have been called, and now I can utilize the adversity of my circumstances
Amen.
As forward motion. Hallelujah. Because there's this thing called lift. And I don't know that they really fully understand how it works. They just know they create it in a certain way and it works. Hallelujah.
Right.
There is something about this lift that sort of pulls the boat. It's not so much the wind pushing the boat as much as the force of the lift that pulls the boat. Hallelujah. You ever see two drops of water and you put them really close to each other, and if you put them close enough, they will just sort of
absorb each other
and become one drop. You see the wisdom of God? God puts the likeness of Him in you. Hallelujah. And as we utilize and allow the circumstances to lift us up, at some point or another, you and I are going to become so close to God that there is no more resistance of separation.
Yes.
And so we just become like the two drops.
Oh,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And that drop becomes that expression of God.
Praise the Lord.
That's the meaning of the verse. It says, and the glory of God shall cover the earth even as the waters cover the sea.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God bless you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
That technique in sailing is called tacking, or what they call tacking to, which is where we get the expression tacking about, which means to all appearances being idle or without course direction, and it's using the wind against you to propel you forward. Which is where you go, where they actually turn the vessel from left to right in kind of a winding pattern, to where even though you may have a direct headwind, you are still able to make progress in spite of the direct resistance against you, against the vessel you're in.
I just have a verse of confirmation because the Lord's been showing me this is what I need to have in my heart, that when no matter what's ahead, no matter what we have to go through, this is the attitude and the perspective that we should have in our hearts. And I'm praying God give it to me. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. And if we look at the end result instead of what our senses see, what our senses activate to us, we can have this attitude. We can we can despise the shame and endure the endure the cross and despise the shame. And we'll be able to go through it, and it won't matter what they're doing to us, because we will be focused on the outcome at the end.
And it comes back to last week's message that stands out with the children, is that the young men, they were children, obviously, being rulers, appointed rulers. Their response was immediate. We are not careful, O king, in this matter. No hesitation, no reservation, no equivocation, no excuses, no... It was instantaneous.
Yeah. It was a part of them.
And I have to believe that there was no... there was no counsel between them. Well, what do you want to do? What are we going to say? You know, they just were of one mind. Three who were of one mind.
They didn't have to go pray about it. They didn't have to check their emails. They didn't have to call brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. They just knew in their heart. Praise the Lord.